Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story, and tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it. The IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Mitchell Leach. Mitchell, hi, thank you for being here. So Mitchell is a host of Levels, a podcast which can be found on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. And Mitchell and I met online on Facebook through a podcast group, and we were chatting, and Mitchell made the statement. He said, my podcast is about leveling up in the life and how it's possible. I did and broke away from family traditions. They were alcoholics and still struggle with it, and I won't allow them into my children's life as I battle for success on a daily basis to give my kids the life I never had. So I've also listened to Mitchell's podcast on Spotify, and it's very inspiring to hear. And I know you just started out, but I already can feel it. I'm like, wow, you're there already. And as you already know, in your life has, we only live in the present. And when you're doing anything in the present, in doing anything in the present, that's all you can do. So the present will create your future. So I love how you are. Of course, you made plans to do things, but you are living it and your goals. So I like that. So I will post the link of his podcast under the description below. So I hope you're as excited as I am to interview Mitchell today. So welcome, Mitchell, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, 100%. And yeah, I mean, from what you just mentioned too, as far as just living it, I mean, it's more or less of like, you know, I always tell my fans and the people that do listen in, if you do struggle with the same exact thing, like if you are a survivor of trauma and you finally realized in your middle-aged adult or young age, you know, because I'm only 27, but I realized it not too long ago that none of this was my fault in the way that I am. And I always had struggles finding my way. And I guess the biggest problem was just realizing that I always had it within me to be somebody great. It's just, I was always told I wasn't going to be anything when I was younger. Growing up, that can instill you to feel like that you're stuck in this position that you really can't maneuver or find a way out because you just were never told that you're worth something more. So in your mind, you're always going to be almost more or less tricking yourself into thinking that you can't actually go and do something. So if, you know, like I said, if there's anybody out there that does listen into my channel that does struggle with the same thing, it is possible to get out of that area of just, you know, it's so black and white that you just feel like you can't you can't move any further because, you know, why even try? I've already been told so many times I'm not going to be successful. I'm not going to be this, that, and the other. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you're little, it's like instilled in you. But once you're older, you start to realize, wow, you know, I was always told this, that, and the other, but none of it's actually true. Because, you know, pieces start to move in life. You start to realize that, oh, okay, I can accomplish this goal. Well, what if I set this goal? Something that I've always wanted. And then I go and chase that. Oh, I guess I'm doing it now. I've actually achieved, you know, a step further to get to that goal and get it done and get it accomplished. What else can I do? At that point, you're almost like picking and grabbing because you never had that time when you were younger to do so. You were always held back by toxic people within your family that you didn't even realize were toxic because they're your family. They're supposed to love you. But once you realize that they never truly love themselves, it's not your fault. And then once you realize it's not your fault, I mean, the world is basically yours at that point for the taking. So I wanted to start my show based on the fact that I know there are people out there that have been through something very similar. And I've done studies on people that have gone through trauma at such a young age. It's funny because my sister, for instance, is a prime example of, they've done a study based on siblings with alcoholic parents. And it was about two brothers of the same age. They were twins. One of them is now homeless, you know, doesn't want to move forward in life, doesn't want to do anything, has no aspirations or goals. And the other one is a seven-figure businessman who owns his own companies. He owns his own websites, stuff like that. And they're both the same exact age. And they both got asked the same question, you know, why are you the way you are? And both answers were the same. It's because my parents were alcoholics. My sister is a prime example of that. She has attempted to go to school in Detroit, at a college in Detroit, actually, a very well-known school, actually, has never succeeded forward because she never actually applied herself. And she's like the prime example of the homeless brother, where like she always has an excuse for everybody else, or well, an excuse for all her problems and points her finger at everybody else. And she doesn't take the other route as far as looking at life in such a positive way, rather than just she takes after my dad. My dad was such a negative guy. And so I feel like her taking that negative approach every single day, like, oh, woe is me, the world sucks, you know. I don't, you know, when I look at the world, I think, okay, what a beautiful life to live because now I have a chance to live it. So, you know, it's like two sides to every single story. But for me, it's just I learned a lot from my past. And I'll never forget my past. I always keep in front of me in case I'm challenged with something further that I know I can overcome because I've already been through it all. So,
right. That's very important. And I love the analogies and those stories. And I've noticed that even in my own family of seven children, and I love how you were talking about success on the first episode. And I see myself as successful because I'm mentally sane. I'm not like, I don't have mental craziness or whatever's happening. And I eat well, I have a roof over my head. I'm never behind any bills. Like, I'm not making a lot of crazy figures. I never make six figures. I live in New York City. People, actually, my nephew, who's like 21 or something now, I told him, hey, when are you moving to New York? And he says, too expensive. And so I was thinking, I was like, before I moved here, people are saying, don't move. It's too expensive. I'm like, people are living in Hawaii. People are living
in
Japan, and they're still living there, and they're poor people. So it's like, anywhere you live, I don't believe in the word expensive. I believe, I just say you cannot afford it at the moment. But if you work your ass off, you're going to afford it. So therefore, expensive is relative to what you take home or even save. Because you can take home a lot of it and you don't save it. So it's interesting about the mentality of people of how they do based on their parents. Because my childhood is pretty, I would say, normal. And because I'm the last kid, I was a golden boy, but like, it wasn't like the greatest thing. But at the same time, what I've done all my life is, I don't know where I've learned that, probably from religion, or maybe it was from innate, from what the universe gives us. Two things I often do. I never blame anybody for my wrongdoing. If I do anything good, of course, I'll give praise. Like, I listen to Susie Orman and Dr. Wayne Dyer or Tony Robbins. Like I praise them because I'm like, I listen to them and I apply those things. But for my wrongdoing, I only take responsibility for myself. So I don't blame people. And right. Also, when it comes to things, I'm always grateful for even the seemingly bad. I often say seemingly bad because you think it's a bad situation now, but in hindsight, you're like, oh, this is a lesson I could have learned if yep. I lived in the present. So therefore, exactly. I feel successful because of that. And I don't have the money, but you know, who cares? Like some people have the six figures and they're not happy. And I'm happy, so.
I know a lot of people who have 7-8 figures and are just the same miserable person as when they started. But the thing is too, is like in my first episode, when I describe success, I describe as pure happiness. What yeah. drives you to become happy? And for me, I mean, it's just like for a lot of people in general, it becomes part of the wealth game, right? Like everybody in America is always trying to build wealth, build a fortune, blah, 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 like all these different things as far as tied to money. Well, for me, I'm just trying to seek utmost freedom because I saw what true poverty can look like. Regardless if I grew up lower middle class, you know, there were times where my parents almost lost the house. There were times where we wouldn't eat at night. Like we wouldn't actually have a dinner or like we wouldn't actually like go certain days without meals. And my dad would literally just leave and tell me to feed my sister. And I was only like 9 years old. Right. But that's the thing is just, they were careless enough to, okay, well we made it this far. So now we're just going to stop giving enough. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, you, if you're willing to one, have two children, which I now have, I have a newborn son and also a 2-year-old daughter, and I'm only 27. But the thing is I've realized that in this moment of having two kids, the clock doesn't stop. I mean, you got to actually keep grinding away at whatever it is that you're pursuing, whether it's a side hustle, whether it's a full-time job, whether it's side gigs, you know, like things that you pick up on a daily routine, or if you have investments in stocks, if you do crypto, like you have to be A1 at your game on a daily basis. And if you're not taking care of yourself, none of that's possible. None of it's ever going to grow. And quite frankly, I've seen parents who have had kids and they tip over eventually because they think life gets too difficult and too rough. And, you know, I get, we all have bad days, right? There are some days where I go to the office and I'm completely unmotivated, but guess what? My clock doesn't stop because I got those two babies at home. And that's why, that's my why, you know, I want to show the world that I'm going to be nothing like my parents because they have shown me a life of just misery and not being able to raise kids. I mean, they probably shouldn't have had kids in the first place, unfortunately, but they literally showed me the exact opposite of what being a parent meant. And not only that, just what being financially free meant. And for me, I'm not after the fortunes, right? I'm not after the whole like status life because I'm so against that. And I've wanted to make my audience so clear on that from the very beginning is I hate the status life. I hate the families that drive around in a fancy Range Rover, right? Like you got your suburban mom and dad and, you know, bratty kids on their iPhones in the back and, oh, change, you know, I'm not like that at all. I'm a very private guy for the most part. And I like to just, I'm a family man. You know, I want to live a comfortable life, but I want to show my kids, look, this is what hard work and ingenuity actually is. Don't look at this fake BS on social media because that's not real. And more than 90% of it actually is fake. And that's why I always look at these millionaire mentors on social media and all these people that claim, oh, I can get you rich overnight. It's BS because all what they're doing is they're feeding their own pocket based off of your subscription. And you're stuck in the money rat machine that they created because they're smart. These people aren't, you know, stupid, but they do suck people in based off their subscriptions and how much they can do. And 90% of them are pyramid schemes anyways. So for people to view success on such a scale as far as just our currency alone is sad. It's I always believe more money in life is just the same amount of misery, no matter what. If you're truly successful at what you do and how you live, then it's based off of your own happiness and whatever you pursue in life. So, and good on you. I see that you have a very healthy looking home. Like, I love the fact that you have your plants out. I'm a very, like, my wife is like that. I absolutely love that too, because me and her have been starting to grow more plants and start new hobbies. Now that we've actually both gotten away from our trauma, she's been through it too, but she's a main, she's the main reason of, I shouldn't say my main, but she's a huge, huge part of my success. If it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. And I can admit that to my audience all day, because it's true. You know, she was the first woman who ever saw something within me that, you know, should have been taken care of, not just, cheated on. Right. But, you know, that it's neither here nor there, but me and her, we've worked together, and now I'm actually helping her with a lot of financial struggles that she's going through or has gone through, and we now are able to work as a team. So we've created something beautiful, but we both came from really dark past.
Yeah, that is amazing that you have a partner that is a team player with you, and that has a goal in you moving forward to do something in this life. And yeah, I do believe that. Of course, we are born alone, but at the same time, no man is an island. Like, we need family, we need friends, we need a partner, we need somebody else with us. And I understand that the American culture is do it alone and you can do it.
Yeah.
All this motivation is good to motivate you to get there. But at the same time, we also know all the stuff like you're living, but most people just forget about it, especially now in modern. I've noticed, like, it's great that women now are, you know, doing their thing. I applaud that. I love it. But at the same time, I feel like people lost their way of saying, oh, I can be a single woman at 50, never married, and I can do battle by myself kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you can say all that, but are you truly happy though? Like, no man is
right.
Like, you need someone in your life. If you are a single woman and you have family, you're big on family and you got people around you, okay, fine. But if you're alone and you're a boss lady and you go home at night crying alone, like, are you really successful?
Yeah, so, exactly.
I was saying, like, as of 2020, I've knew all of this before, but 2020 basically was like a good bully that pushed me against the wall.
Yeah.
And say, hey, face your shame, face your guilt, face your fear and judgments. And I woke up one day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing a podcast. Like, it started to be solo, and then people started watching and they're like, hey, I want to be part of this. It's kind of like, it's more thin by itself. And I don't have, like, I was just doing it, and I learned to not be attached to the outcome, but to enjoy the process. So therefore it's more thin to whatever it's going to be. So I'm letting it, and I'm enjoying that process, which helps me be here. And then you're here too, because if I was like stuck to like a goal of what it should be, I would be like this, and not when people say, hey, I want to be part of it, I'll be like, no. And
so, yeah, I started mine, and really, I mean, so I just basically did 2 months worth of research to see, you know, basically diving into podcasts overall, because I never used to listen to podcasts. I never like really understood what podcasting was until I started doing it. But I feel like when I did my research, it was mainly just because I wanted to understand how everything worked operationally. And then from there I could make it work. I just have to really dive into the progress and understand, okay, this is what you have to do to get this. But once I did my further research, I'm like, okay, like, I guess the analytics really doesn't matter, right? If you're trying to like see stats and all that, if you're trying to like really do this for the money, it's not going to happen, you know. And a lot of new podcasters should know too, like, look, if you're going to start a show, if you really think you have something here as far as something for your audience, whether it be informational, whether it be something that is of use to them as far as information, or if it's like a friendly game show, right? If you have something and you know that you're targeting a certain niche, then yeah, of course, go for it. But if you're not enjoying the ride, like you just said, that's the most important part of all of it. So, I mean, for anybody that's starting a new podcast too, do it for the hobby, do it for the actual experience. Don't do it for the stats. You're going to go nowhere if you're just constantly looking at your downloads always. I like to post mine just to let my fans know, like, look, this is where it's at, but I don't expect anything more or less. I just want to show them to say, like, look, you know, there are about 200 people listening, and now And it's going to keep growing because I feel like I have something here. And to show an audience that and know that there are listeners out there is probably going to engage them and want to listen more. To say like, oh, wow, there's 210 people now listening to this podcast. It's been up for less than 30 days. You know, that's pretty good. So, you know, for me, it's just join. You know, join in. If you've ever struggled with something similar, or if you're just looking for actual advice, I mean, some of my episodes coming out soon are going to be about, well, one, my journey of getting to level one, and now I consider myself on level two, right? Because I've gone from, like, I've gone from grinding for just myself, and now I'm grinding for my entire family. I view just grinding it for yourself as like, okay, that's a maturity level of you're on level one, right? You're just grinding for you. It's for nobody else, but you know your why. It's for your personal health, right? It's for your personal being. But once you have another human in this world, now the game changes. All right, now you're on level two because you have a second part of your DNA here. You have a second part of you here that needs to be nurtured, loved, taken care of. And known that you can that little individual can trust you with their life, you know, that's like a huge responsibility. So I consider certain people to be at a certain level based off of, look, you know, you have more responsibility at that point. So now it's time to level up. You don't have an excuse, right? So that's a huge reason of why I started this in the first place. Like I said, is to get the message out there. Let people know that breaking away from traditional habits or traditional ways of, you know, a toxic family constantly doing something and generational being is possible. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel on the other side. It just comes with first really figuring out who you are. And that could take months, years. It could take a really long time. It could take somebody joining your path and falling in love with you that actually shows you this is what's been happening in your life. And I'm just here noticing it. And I'm here to tell you, because I love you, that I think these are the changes you should make. Otherwise you're not going to go anywhere. Sometimes people need that push.
Right. Yeah. That's so amazing. And I'm definitely looking forward to hear more, because I've only saw two episodes. Is that correct? Or is there more?
Yeah. Yeah. The third episode comes out Christmas Eve. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was like, where's more? Because it's so engaging. Yeah.
It's going to get better too, because so the third, what I'm doing and what I'm planning with doing with my audience too, is because I want to keep you guys on your toes. For anybody that does actually listen in, the third episode is going to be a fast forward. So like the first two episodes, I talked about my past, and I'm cutting it off early because there's so much more with my past that my audience is going to learn that actually teaches most people life lessons in the long run. And it's actually going to help my audience grow as individuals, because it's not just about me. And that's what I'm trying to portray on this third episode is, look, this podcast is for you guys on a different scale. If you listen in close enough, you'll realize that my past reflects off of certain areas of where I've gone in life that will only help other people who may be going through something similar level up in their own life. And so this third episode is going to be about the journey of when I met my mentor within the company that I work for. It's going to be about the life lessons he taught me and life lessons that I've also learned from my CEO with my own company. But these guys have worked their asses off from absolutely nothing. I mean, my mentor has literally worked in sales, like in a worse area than Detroit. And I say that wholeheartedly because I've been in bad areas in Detroit. I've sold in bad areas in Detroit. But he has sold in areas where when he was my age, he was like 26 years old. And he always tells me this story. I worked out of a tickler box. And you kids don't even know what that is, because now you sales dudes have Salesforce. Salesforce is like the CRM system for any company, any professional sales company that is like the Rolls Royce of machines to basically act as your daily secretaries. Like you have a robotic secretary. He had a tickler box of leads, and that's it. That's all he worked out of back in the 90s. And he actually got his window broken in one night on one of his sales. And he came out. He didn't get the sale. He didn't get the close. It was a bad day. He didn't close any deals that day. And lo and behold, he comes out to his car. He's got a broken back windshield or back window. And somebody stole his tickler box for some reason. And all his gym clothes and all this other stuff that he had in his car. Everything gone. And he was just thinking in his head, like, he was so mad that day. But the one thing that made him so, like, more mad than anything was the fact that he actually had somebody steal his tickler box of just leads alone. So he was, like, frustrated the fact that, like, why would you steal that? That has no value. But, you know, he's gone through hardship on many, many different scales. And that's why I learned so much from these individuals in life that have actually helped shape me, that I feel like will definitely help shape my audience in a way. If they're looking for that type of level up information, if they're looking for that type of really just understanding again who you are and what you can actually do, I feel like a lot of the general public doubts themselves when it comes to going that extra mile or going that extra day in to work, right? Like, there are people that work 9 to 5s. There are people that work midnight jobs. There are people that work 8 to 7s. There are people that just solely work off a side hustle. But guess what? I feel like the general public sometimes is under the impression that it's okay to slack. It's okay to do this, that, the other. You know, self-love, self-care, that's fine. Like, I'm all for taking a day off. I'm all for taking a recharge day. But for people that want to actually move the dial and move it quick, I'm talking like 1 year you're living at your parents' house in their basement to the next year you got your own home, kids, cars, everything you ever desired to make your life feel comfortable, feeling like you're not just in a box alone, right? For people that want to create their own happiness and how to do that on a quick scale, moving that dial quickly, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of understanding who you are in the first place and how deep you're willing to dig within yourself to realize I can do this. You know, it's interesting enough to see really where my sister has gone in life, because she's living back with my parents again, and she's 4 years younger than me. But I know for a fact that that's not the life she wants to live. She lives this depressing life of, you know, the world's ending anyway. She always like thinks that way, right? So why try? Why care? We're all a bunch of floating molecules and nothing matters. For me, it's so much more. It's just two different opposites. And I think that's the most interesting part of, you know, how, like, what I'll be sharing with my audience in coming episodes is there are two sides to every single coin. It's just what you choose. It's how you perceive life, and it's knowing exactly who you are in order to take life on.
Yeah, most certainly. Great message. So tell us who you are and what brings you joy.
So my name is Mitchell Leach. I'm a 27-year-old man from, originally born in Warren, Michigan, which is like borderline Detroit. And then my family moved north to like Macomb, Michigan, up in the suburb area, where it was like lower middle class, but well enough, I guess, so to speak. What brings me happiness really is just at this point in life, what really brings me happiness is extending my message to other people and knowing that I can help them succeed as well. And I took a sales manager's leadership role with my current position recently, and I'm actually building a team in Detroit, a sales team from scratch. It's just me and my old boss who now works on my sales team. He stepped away from the management position, so I took over. And now I'm building, I got like four now coming on that all have their license to do the job we do, and they're self-motivated. You know, they're sharks, right? I'm just building a team at this point, but I want to help those individuals specifically succeed. So that way I can show them like, look, this is a level of financial success, but let's figure out your why. Why do you come to work every single day? What drives you? You know, what's important to you is where I'm going to start with our initial training. But that's really what it's all about with my audience too, is they need to figure out exactly who they are and be able to share that in a safe place. And that's exactly what my podcast is. It's a safe place for people to come, express what they've gone through, and show them that, look, this is exactly who I am. This is what I can bring to the table. These are my talents. This is what I love. And this is how I'm going to take on the world. That's exactly what this podcast is for. And that's, I mean, to me, that's what brings my happiness, is being able to show people that there's so much more to life, I guess, and understanding that success can be measured on any level, not just wealth.
Mm-hmm. It is an important thing to know oneself, because if you don't, then you're just going to float around like your sister mm-hmm. said, and it doesn't matter. But once you know who you are, then you're gonna, I feel like, at least for me, when I was finding out who I was, when it clicked and I knew who I was, then I had to second do self-responsibility. I take responsibility for myself and my life now, and then actually do the work. Because mm-hmm. if you don't do it, even if, let's say, if you're religious and you read the Bible, even God had to create the thing for like 7 days or 6 days, basically. Like, even him mm-hmm. had to work. So it's kind of like, it's very, what's that word? Perfect example. Like, if the person like who creates everything, who's like the head of everything, had to work himself to do something, so why not you, who's like a lesser being? So we had to work to get our daily bread, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm religious too, so like you and I are on the same area. I'm Catholic. I've been Catholic since I grew up, but I believe that God is our major protector. And not only that, he's even for homeless, even for people that do, like we just said, float around because they don't believe. He still watches out, even for those individuals. Like, my sister is not alone. She grew up Catholic. As far as her not believing in God anymore, yeah, sure, that's your choice for now. But you'll see one day, once we all pass away, we're all going to see. And that's something I like to remind my audience to, religious or not, we're all going to end up in the same exact place. That's what I find funny about people like these billionaires and millionaires that brag about on social media about their fortunes and like all this money that they have that they can just throw at NFTs nowadays and all this BS, which I make NFTs, but I do it out of pure joy and happiness because I have an appreciation for art. And why not make money off art? Now, with the metaverse and all this other stuff, I think it's a little crazy. But I think it's because billionaires are literally bored. Like, with a capital B, bored. They have nothing better to do or spend their money on. So let's spend $500,000 on this bored ape over here and sell it for double that. And then post about it on social media so that, you know, people that aren't on that level yet will remain on their level. And I feel like that's something that, to me, isn't true success. I think that's fake success. Like, regardless if they're rich as hell, doesn't matter. To me, that's not what true success actually feels like. I feel like that's just a really sad individual that seeks utmost attention and instant gratification. And I think it's really unhealthy. Even if I'm looking at a millionaire, like, for instance, Logan Paul, like, I used to watch his videos all the time when he was Vine famous and all this other stuff because he was funny. But now it's almost like he's turned into an individual where it's like, okay, now I have all this money, so I don't care about life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about anything else but posting my image out here and things that I can do and this, that, and the other. And all of them are like that. All of them are the same. Once they reach a certain level, they think that life is expendable and that things in life don't matter. So let me flaunt my money because I can, and I'm sad. But, you know, as far as NFTs go, it's just digital art. I like the digital art portion of it, really. I think it's beautiful. Other than that, like I said, the metaverse is something different. I think that's something that we need to really, really think about before we just dive head in first, because I feel like that's going to be really abused by the general public. And people are going to become really unhealthy, like more unhealthy than they already are, which is even scarier.
Yeah.
But like for millionaires, like I said, success to me is just, it's completely different. I mean, I don't view success as money, right? I view success, like you just said, as pure utmost happiness. What drives you on a daily basis? What gets your heart racing? What puts a smile on your face? And honestly, what makes you feel love, right? That's what drives anything in life, is love. Most people don't understand that.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, I used to feel that it's sad or pity for people like that, but I feel like I have enough to go on my own, so I don't need to have those emotions, because I feel like
right.
we all have our own lives, and if that it works for them or they think it works for them, then so be it. But what I do is when I watch people, I get inspired what inspires me, and I take what works for me, even if
yep.
if that Logan guy you mentioned, I used to watch him as well, and I stopped because like there were certain things I was like not into anymore, and I was like whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you remember, I don't remember the name of it, but there's this pyramid. Someone came with this pyramid thing where it says like, if you get your minimum levels met, like shelter, you're eating well and you're healthy and you yeah. make like certain kind of money, like you're fine. And if you make more money, it won't bring the happiness. You're still going to be on that level of fine because more doesn't create extra happiness.
Exactly.
So, I don't remember who said that, but I saw a meme like that, and I was like, "Oh, I'm," because I was checking out the pyramid box, and I was like, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm there." And with the money part, I used to be like, "Oh, I wish I had more money," or "I'm so poor," whatever. And I was like, "No, I don't need to think that way," because I started thinking of lack. I have enough money where I'm never late on rent, never mm-hmm. late on credit card bills or anything. So therefore, I do have money, and I'm grateful yeah. for it. And wanting more is not a bad thing, but feeling that you don't have mm-hmm. enough, like that negative dragging feeling sad of a lack is not good, because I'm just comparing myself to someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful and content, and I can work for more, but the motivation should not be comparison or for more happiness, because I'm
pretty, right.
I was texting someone today, and based on what I post online, she was like, happy for me, whatever. And I was like, I'm happy too that I, in my own right, I live like a king. I'm not living like showing off or flaunting
right.
or doing all this crazy stuff, but I still I live like a king because I wake up happy and I meditate and nice. I relax. And like, I often do all my yoga and exercise first and meditating and actually breathe. And I don't literally like talk to my plants, but I say words of gratitude towards them because they yep. help me breathe, you know, like the exchange breathing part.
And I heard that helps them grow too.
Yeah, exactly. And they like alive, like I have plants for like 6 years, like they've been growing, and I walk outside and I'm grateful about the clean air we still have and all these things. And to me, that's like enough for now. Like, of course, I still work to do more, because why live if I'm just like mm-hmm. sitting around, right? So
yeah,
but at the same time, I don't do it for the different drive of like showing off my bands. I often say if I actually have billions or millions, like on the double digit million, I would totally be like, not totally in rags, but like I would just be like thrifty. Cause I'm
pretty yeah. like, you're like me.
Yeah, like I don't care. It's like I don't need to show off. Like actually, only recently starting to post pictures because people keep saying, "What do you look like? What do you look like on my Facebook?" And I was yeah. like, "Do I have photos?" And I was like, "I guess I don't have photos because I don't care to show off and show all this stuff." So I started taking pictures so people can see now. Since I'm starting to have a podcast, because they're like curious and they're like, "Oh, I go on your profile and I don't see pictures." But yeah, yeah. for showing off and all this thing. So I want to ask you, what is your shame, your guilt, and your fear, and how are you? Have you or you working on to overcome those? Your shame, guilt, and fear.
So my shame, I guess I could start off with my shame being this, and this is something that like, I mean, I'll share it because we're on this, right? And I'm open to sharing this with my audience, which at some point I was going to, but, and it's okay if it even leaks out there a little bit, because it is something that is going to be shared on, I'm probably going to share it on my sixth episode, because I wanted to wait to really let this out. But my shame really comes from, like, I guess just not, so this is the thing, right? When I lived with my parents, they were such toxic people to the point where everything was always going wrong. Like in life, that is, I can never get anything right, such as relationships, such as grades, such as classes. I couldn't finish anything because I was always around such negative people. And I realized that when you're around negative people like that, you're always going to be something that you're actually not, right? You're always going to give a half-ass effort. You're always going to hate the fact that you already have it in your head that this is going to go wrong, so why finish? Mm-hmm. One of the things that actually did really go wrong in my life, and it happened after I'd already broken away from my parents, was when me and my wife, well, she's my girlfriend at the time, but now she's my wife. We went to go have our first baby because our kids were planned. And a lot of people, like even like friends that are my age that, well, they're no longer my friends anymore. There were some that were like this, though, that I thought were my true friends that weren't. They would always say like, oh, was this another mistake? You know what I mean? Because they would always follow me around in life and think like, oh, he's gonna mess up again. They would like pray on my downfall. And when they found out I had my daughter, they were like, oh, was this another mistake? And that's where I started to see like my true colors come out of people. And I told them, no, it wasn't. I've always wanted to be a dad. But here's why I had kids in the first place. So the first time that me and my, at the time, girlfriend, now wife, went to go have a baby, we ended up having a miscarriage. And that one was unplanned. So that like really took a huge piece away from me. And it made me realize that I wasn't going to continue to live a life of regret. I wasn't going to continue to live a life of thinking that I wasn't worth something more. And I saw how much it actually broke my wife whenever the nurse came in the room and told us, yeah, we're really sorry, but, you know, this is a stillborn. I actually walked out of the room bawling my eyes out. And that's because I wasn't emotionally ready. And at first it probably took like a half a minute for me to realize what was even going on because my body just went into shock. Once the nurse said that, my wife like basically just broke down in tears. And the nurse was like trying to like hold her up, because she would just like couldn't breathe. Like she wanted a baby that bad. She's always wanted to be a mom. She worked with kids her whole life. She used to nanny triplets for a full-time job, you know, and now she does behavioral health for kids. So to her, seeing her broken down like that actually broke me down that in that moment. I walked out and it took me at least a half hour before I could walk back in and actually face her. And like, I thought at that moment there was something wrong with me. And in that moment was a key moment that I want to share with my audience. And it's a moment of reflecting on you. And in that moment, I asked myself subconsciously, I'm like, is this another thing that's really going wrong in my life right now? Like, does God hate me that much? Am I that unforgiven that when I go to make a mistake, I can't just see something positive that I'm now preparing myself for? Like weeks before, I was so ready to become a dad. I was like looking up different parenting books and stuff. Like I was really, really excited, even though I realized I was scared and I made a mistake. But to me, it went from being a mistake to, okay, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to take this ownership and I'm going to make something of it. Because now I feel like I'm ready. I've done some self-reflecting. I think I can do this. And then when that happened, I really like looked up at the sky and I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, is this really happening again? Is there actually something else in the way that's preventing me from becoming my full potential? So I walk back in the room and she looks up at me with tears in her eyes and she goes, it's not your fault. I don't want you to think it is. And that's when I started crying again. I was like, it is though. It is. Because I doubted us. She goes, what do you mean you doubted us? I was like, I doubted us. I did what I've always done in life before. I doubt everything. I used to doubt everything. Anything that I could ever pursue in life, I would doubt. Because I was always told, I was always trained that way. You know, my parents would always instill that in me. So I feel like that abortion, I always like, I don't want to blame myself, but I always, that's my shame. I'm shameful for the fact that we had lost a child. And I feel like I'm the one to blame. I feel like there was some stress portrayed on her that may have came from me that caused it. I don't know. But I know that whole night I didn't sleep, and I was up looking at different, you know, possibilities of ways that would cause a stillborn. And I took 100% ownership of it. Even though she didn't want me to, I did, because I was like, you know what? That's it. That's the last thing that's going to go wrong in life, because we're going to have a baby. And this is going to be a healthy child that we're going to bring into the world in love. And I'm ready. I mentally dug deep enough to tell myself that. In a moment of pure hell, if you can do that, that really sets yourself aside from the rest. And it's those individuals that know how to move that needle forward quick, because they're angry. And if you can channel your anger into something so positive and create something beautiful, that's what this whole podcast is about. It's about digging into those moments and realizing exactly who you are and saying enough is enough. I'm not going to let life kick me. I'm not going to let life constantly bully me, because I've been told that it always will, right? My parents were like old school generation, and they would always just instill negativity in me as a kid. So that's what made me think that way. Guilt, again, has to do with the stillborn. That's 100% part of my guilt. Some of the decisions I made in life, like I've been arrested for marijuana, which is silly to feel guilty about, but I was just wrong place at the wrong time. That was when I was 18. And again, I was a troublemaker kid. I didn't know any better. And when I was 14, I stole my mom's car, something else I'm guilty about. But I did it to sneak out and go to a party that night, right? I was 14 and should not have been driving by whatever means, but I did it anyways, because I had actual, like, I wasn't brought up in a environment where parents should be telling your kids, like, look, this is why you don't do this, and I'm here because I love you. I'm not here to constantly put you down and make it feel like you're at war with your parents, right? Your parents are supposed to be there to guide you, not cage you up like an animal, because that animal only gets worse. And so, you know, there's a lot of things in life that I've been guilty for, but, you know, that to me, like the newborn or the stillborn, I mean, that was probably the most guilt I've ever felt. You know, and I've made other mistakes too. Like one mistake I'll share that I don't feel guilty anymore because of this, because I worked so hard to get back to where I am now. And I've like concreted everything that I have now, so that way nothing can break this shield that's around this beautiful family that I created. But whenever I first had my daughter, there was a moment in my mind and my wife's relationship. At the time, she was my girlfriend. We recently got married because of, well, not only this, but there was a lot of other reasons we got married. This was like a main cause though. But I had actually stepped out on my relationship at one point. I was messaging another girl out of pure boredom because the pandemic hit and every single channel on the TV was talking about COVID and that the world was going to end, right? And there were lockdown restrictions and all this other stuff that would generally stress the public out. To me, I wasn't that stressed, but my wife and I's relationship at the time was not exactly where it should be. Like, we hit a couple roadblocks to where we just had miscommunication issues and all this other stuff. And I'm not one to cheat, and she knows that. And I didn't cheat. I just made a stupid choice, really, is what it was. I was messaging some other girl on Snapchat, and I was literally sitting on my couch. And this is some girl that knew me from high school that I had never actually hung out with, because she went to a different school anyways. So to me, in my mind, it was like innocent. But then this was another realization I needed to take upon myself to see, okay, this is why you are the way you are, and it's not your fault. It's literally because of your parents. I was messaging another girl, and I had a daughter, right? She was one at the time. And my girlfriend was in the other room, and we were messaging dirty things back and forth. I was completely bored, right? And it was because my girlfriend at the time and I, we were fighting like left and right, because we were having miscommunication issues and all this other stuff that we weren't addressing as adults. And instead, we were handling it like kids at the time. We were just fighting back and forth and letting it happen. And my mind took over and went to a different place. This attractive girl was messaging me on Snapchat, and I was sitting on the couch bored. So I found the need to message back. And I wasn't thinking twice about the situation that I'm currently in, because this has happened before. I've made this mistake in the past. When I was in high school, right? When I had that maturity level, not the maturity level that I have now. And so it took me, well, it took us breaking up, me having to move back in with my parents, her having to move back in with her parents, with my daughter, who then I could only see for 2 days out of an entire week. And she didn't do that because of me. She knows that I'm a good dad. She did that because of my parents and who they are. My parents showed up to my daughter's birth when she was born, they were either hungover or they had just got done drinking, because it was her cousin and my girlfriend's mom at the time, was my girlfriend, now my wife. They both came in the room and said that your parents reek of liquor. And I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, that's typical. You know, this isn't anything new. They claim they didn't drink that day, and that's BS. Like, again, they live behind a closed curtain. But it took me realizing that I had messed up and that this is 100% my fault when I moved back in with my parents. And my dad's number one word when he found out exactly what happened was this. He goes, it's not your fault. She just sounds crazy. You know, like, what? So you messaged another girl? You know how much worse other men do? Are you kidding me? And she's going to break up with you over that? Get a life. You know, and he would act like it's not anyone's fault. Or not my fault, right? And in that moment, I'm like, no, this doesn't feel right. Like, why aren't you telling me I messed up? You know, all these other times you always told me I'll never get anything right. Why are you trying to steer me in the wrong direction almost? I know I'm wrong. I'm almost looking for some guidance right now, Dad. I need you to tell me I effed this up, and that the only way I can fix it is by fighting really, really hard to get back. No, he literally said, oh, you'll be fine. You can find another girl in a week. And I'm like, what? Like, you have a granddaughter. What do you mean? Like, this is different now, Dad. I'm not like a player that I was in high school anymore. I have a daughter. I love that little girl. And I love my wife, too. And it took me a couple months living with my parents to realize that it wasn't true love. My dad brought me back into their life off a text message that, you know, was fake. He said that I'm going to bring you in and you can live in the basement that I'm finishing up and you can help me finish it and you can raise your daughter down there. 2 weeks later, as we're working on the project, he jokingly looks at me and goes, man, this is turning out to be so nice. I might just tell you to F off and go live upstairs in your room. Mind you, my old bedroom was uninsulated and the guest room right across from it used to be a playroom that is also completely uninsulated. That was supposed to be my granddaughter, or well, his granddaughter's room. So, you know, broken promises was constantly a part of my childhood. It doesn't change even when I'm an adult. In fact, it gets worse. They lie like right to your face and they're not even afraid of doing it. And so it took me up until my dad kicked me out after 2 months of living there as I was holding my daughter. He basically told me, he's like, we're never going to stop arguing, you, me and your mom. I don't care if Avery's around. And if you don't like it, you can get the F out. So I basically said deuces, because I don't need this. And I actually have money in my pocket now to where I make more money than you. Like, it was funny because he always will have this paradox in his head and think that I'm struggling, when in reality, I make more than he does and my mom put together. She's a nurse and he's a project engineer. But yet I'm pulling more than they are because of pure hard work and ingenuity. And I constantly do that every single day because I don't ever want to be on their level. They're on a level of just unhappiness and pure misery. They don't sleep in the same bed. They argue on a daily basis. But for you to kick your daughter, well, granddaughter out, and son, your only son out, in a time of where I need you to just be a leader, he does the opposite. But it's because he doesn't love himself. So that's a big reason why I don't allow my parents in my children's lives. But that, I mean, to me, it's just the choices that I made in the past are part of my guilt, I'd say. Fear. Oh, wow. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Man, it's hard because when you're a trauma survivor and you find out that it's not your fault, you're almost fearless at that point. Like, you don't fear anything. The only fear I think I could ever have is if basically for some reason I could do it all. Like, I could be the best dad. I could be the best leader. I could be the best life coach, the best, you know, parent at a soccer game there where you're cheering your kids on, and, you know, the best person to have a crying shoulder to lean on, right? My fear is that I can do all that and try my very best, and yet my daughter is still unhappy in life when she gets older and lives a life of misery because of some reason, which I fear that because I feel like as a parent, we don't have instruction guides to all of this. There is none. There's no correct or wrong or right way. Well, I shouldn't say that. There is no there's no specific way you can parent. There is a wrong and a right way to parent. But there's no specific instructions that you do get when it comes to being a parent. And I do firmly believe that that's the hardest job there is out there. So for me, it's just, you know, being a good parent at the end of the day and somehow still failing is what I fear the most.
Right. Well, I would say with that, I don't have any children, but from what I've noticed in life, and especially in with my other siblings and other people, and I call myself a scientist, but I don't have a degree in scientist. I just like to learn so much, and I apply things that I learn, and I like experiment. I like to put myself in experiment. I've noticed a lot of the rich people that we know or known in the past, I saw a thing that says actually 75% of the wealthy actually came from humble beginning, like poor and bad family homes. They weren't like, as most people believe, like you're born wealthy and all this stuff. Actually, mm-hmm. Their children usually are the ones who don't continue the line of wealth for some reason. So, which proved that struggle and stirring up the pot or whatever that word could be is like helps you grow. And it all has to do with your self-responsibility and what you want to do in life, basically. Mm-hmm. So like you were mentioning about the twins, like, or even you and your sister, like some people choose to with their struggle, it grows them. And then they decide to do something with their lives. And some other ones go like, okay, I'm the product of my past. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And everyone have their own lives to live. So what I've noticed is a lot of rich people, their children in and out of jail, doing drugs, like doing all the stuff their parents work hard for. Mm-hmm. And actually listening to Susie Orman, she often advocates for parents to not, because a lot of parents calling in and saying, hey, I'm having this account for my children. Can I do this or should I do this? She says, you could have that, but do not let them know.
Yeah,
basically. And your children need to work on their own. And so, as you were saying, there's no guide, and you could be the best parent in the world. And I've mm-hmm. seen this, like even in talk shows or whatever. And then children like become addict to something, and then they go to jail, and then they're the worst type of people. And you can't really blame yourself.
Yeah.
This is why, like, even your parents did what they did. I've come to this realization myself personally, that my parents did what they did. They did the best they could at what they knew, because I saw a meme that says, remember when you were mad at your parents, where they were at? Now you're mm-hmm. their age and look at where you're at.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep. Damn, like, look at my age. Like when my parents was my age, I probably felt a certain way. Now I'm there. Granted, I don't have children, but if they did, like, I'm someone who likes uh-oh. To play. Like, I would love to have children, but I think at this point I would have to. Yeah, so I would love to have children, but I'm someone who likes to plan. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I need to make a certain amount of money because I don't want money to be a thing. Like, I don't want to raise people into poverty, because I know
right.
I'm stable up here, but I'm not stable for a family. I'm stable mm-hmm. for myself, but for a family unit, for what a family needs to have. And a lot of people are saying, oh, you'll figure it out. Just do it. And I'm like, No, I'm good because I watch your life.
So that's the thing too. Like when it comes to parenting, like when you have kids, of course, it's never expected, right? And the thing is a lot of people always say like, oh, I'm going to plan to have kids. We never plan to have kids and nobody knows the true answer of parenting, but like you do your best. And I give it all to my spouse for helping me be the better parent, better than what my parents were, because when I would make a mistake as a kid, not knowing any better, I would get smacked upside the head. I would get told that I was wrong for simply making a mistake that I didn't know any difference of, you know, what the outcome was supposed to be in the first place, because I was never taught. So they would almost punish me based off of their own misteaching or their own lack thereof teaching. And it was almost just that constant vicious cycle of, why can't I ever get anything right? Oh, it's because I'm always getting smacked upside the head when I do something wrong. So why would I ever pursue anything to do anything right? That's just, you know, so when it comes to parenting, and I always tell this to people that, you know, say, well, look, I don't want kids because of this. The thing is, too, is that in life, if you're not ready to have kids, don't have kids, because it's a whole different ballgame, right? You're now not just responsible for you. You're responsible for another life, and you have to mold this life and understand exactly how to the best way to do that. And really, there's no instruction guide, but you really have to be. And I just look at a person like you and I'm like, this person's grounded enough to where they could more than likely handle having kids. Financially, it's not as hard as what people think. It just depends on really how you budget, and it becomes more of a strategic budget rather than just your basic, okay, these are my bills and this is what I'm going to write down budget. I mean, you're adding more expenses, of course, but like, where can you actually save in certain areas that will make that up from what you used to spend money on versus what you could spend money on now that you have this extra life involved. So really it's just about, and I'm not telling anybody what to do as far as having kids. Like I said, if you're not mentally prepared or if you don't think you have the finances, then don't do it, like 100%. But if there's a moment in life where you're thinking, okay, well, right now I love this other individual, right, who's in my life. This person loves me. This person has communicated with me that they want children. I see myself being either a father or mother one day, or vice versa. And I think that financially, if I cut in this certain area and move this amount of money that I could use on said diapers, right? Like certain things that would come with having another life involved, I think that's part of the planning that needs to happen for anybody that does pursue wanting to have kids. But it could take it could take a while. Everybody's in a different spot, right? But for those who feel like they're ready, but they're just not ready to pull the trigger because of their own, you know, individual thinking as far as like, oh, I don't think I have what it takes, blah, blah. That's 100% BS. You have what it takes if you're able to 100% care for yourself mentally, if you're able to care for yourself as an individual. But not only that, if you feel like that you're really good with kids and you know how to love strong, I feel like that is more of a reason to have kids at that point. But financially, like I said, it's all about just replanning that budget in such a strategic way. I mean, there were times where I've had to cancel subscriptions that honestly I didn't even know I had, right? But once I canceled them, I'm like, oh, well, that will help me buy this, and it's for the babies, right? But it's just, and the thing is with kids is your budget's always going to change, so you got to be ready for that type of change on a quick dime, right? It's okay, back to the books, I got to redo this. And it's just, if you're not staying on top of those things, then you're not 100% parenting. And that's why, like, It having kids is a whole different ballgame as far as responsibility, but it does help you grow. I'll say that having children has helped me grow, not only within myself, but within my ability and what I'm now able to do, things that I years ago would not even think I was capable of. Nowadays, it's almost like, damn, if I can accomplish that, what else can I do? You know, like, let's look into this over here. I'm smart enough to figure this out. I don't even think I need to ask anybody for help with this. as long as I read up this and do that, and then you start to put things together quicker because you're able to parent quicker, and it all kind of falls into place. But for those, again, who like yourself, if you don't think that you want to have kids just yet, wait as long as you can, and trust me, because you'll never get that time back. So